What's up, guys?
I was just getting all my A's out before we got started. Welcome back, y'all, to Is It Crazy or Is It God, where we are just reading the Bible along with you, hopefully. We're just trying to encourage a community of Bible readers, and you don't even already have to be reading the Bible to start. Join in with us. Start in with the fun. I do want to reiterate, though, just if you're just joining us for the first time, that we're not pastors or anything like that. Like, we're not Bible experts. Awesome. Sound check complete. Yeah. We're not Bible experts. We're not theologians. We are two regular people, a married couple, reading the Bible together for the first time. Like, we've read the Bible before in just different pieces. The production over here.
We just do live sound check. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I just want to give all the disclaimers because, you know, it's important for people to realize that, like, you have to do your own research. Even sometimes if you're, I mean, I'll just go so far as to say, even if somebody that you trust, you know, is telling you something about God's word, you know, it's still, you're still responsible for going to look it up yourself. You're still going to have to, you know, do your own research. And not, you know, see any distrust in anybody, but especially because we're coming to you online and on social media, I just want to say that it, you know, it's probably obvious to a lot of people, but I think it's just always good to just clear that up. We're not claiming to know exactly what we're talking about. We're literally just reading this together and we're interpreting it in our own way. Like, however we interpret it might not be correct. So I just want to put that out there, but it's still a good time and it's really fun. So we just want to, you know, put that out there.
Yeah. So, okay.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
How did you apply the word this week, or what did you, you know,
what did I learn?
What did you learn this week?
Ooh, I think this week, I think right now, I'm in the season of connecting with God closer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaching me things. He's teaching me basic principles.
Mm.
And for instance, he's teaching me patience and accountability. I'm learning that this week. It's more so the patience, right? So as you guys know, I have two more YouTube channels. I have plus this one. And so there's faith, right? So, and then we have jobs. So in order, God's teaching me to not only rely on him, but have patience and run my race. That's what I learned this week.
Oh, right? Wow.
Because with patience, you're not, my mission is not to outrun anybody. It's outrunning myself.
Yeah.
Right? It's very simple term. You're running the race by yourself, and there's nobody else that is beside you. If you just focus on yourself and God, you're going to accomplish everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't worry about what the person's doing next to you. Can't worry about what this person's doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Famous story, Michael Phelps was in the Olympics, and I forgot the other guy's name, but they were teammates, and he was like, I'm just focused on beating Phelps, and he lost. And people asked Phelps what he was focused on. He was like, I'm focused on me just trying to focus and win. Right? That's just a great story. You just got to remember that it's not about what everybody else is doing. You got to focus on you. Patrick Mahomes is not worried about nobody else. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, LeBron, they are focused on their mission. Right. I just like to compare it to sports because I think it's relatable for everybody and I love it. So that's what you're going to hear from it. And I need to relate it back to the Bible. Right. So we're reading about Joseph. When I'm saying I'm running this race, I'm not saying that I'm not worried about people. I care for people and I love people. I'm just not I'm focused on being in tune with God first. So, you know what I'm saying? When I'm saying I'm focused on myself, I'm not focused when I say that I'm focused on myself, I'm just relaying it back to following God's principles and guidance. And I'm not worried about irrelevant, silly myths. Because mm-hmm. when you start worrying about what other people are doing, worrying and caring are two different things.
Mm.
Right? Doesn't mean I care for my wife. I care for people around me. Mm-hmm. And I love people around me. But when I'm saying patience and focus on me, I'm talking about worrying and anxiety and fear about everything else around me except for me. So that's what I learned this week.
That's awesome. I was trying to get this picture up of Michael Phelps because I literally just Googled it, but it's, you know, it's not, I don't think it's coming through, but that's okay because I'm just going to keep going. But I love what you said there. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's one of those things where in the picture, that's why it was so dope. Cause the guy is literally in his swimming lane, looking at Phelps and Phelps is looking at, oh, there it is. Okay. It just came through. I'm going to try to pull it up. But, you know, I think Oprah says something similar to that about running your own race. What's funny to me is that the way that Oprah says it is exactly the way that this picture is.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when you are looking over in the next lane, mm-hmm. you're taking away from your own focus, right?
Yeah.
And this is like the perfect example of that. I don't know if you can see that. Let's see. Yeah. You can see that this man, I don't even know his name. And it's wild because I'm sure his name is down here somewhere. This man, Chad Lee Close of South Africa. I don't know. Listen, it's probably more than one person because Michael Phelps is like the fastest person, right? But if you can see his face, looking at him like, oh, I got to beat him. I got to beat him. And it's like, he should be looking ahead. Yeah. Right. And that's really cool that you brought that up because I think that's just something we could all keep in mind. It's like so easy, especially with all the distractions
from
just life and social media. It's so easy to get caught up in something that you're not even supposed to be focused
worrying
on.
About somebody else when it's not, it's, you can't pretend, you can't worry about worrying is an irrelevant, silly myth. It doesn't exist.
You know, Joyce Meyer had this one service one time, which I was listening to her. She was saying, like, worry is like pride because you're relying on your own self to figure this out. I just got to figure this out on my own time. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, give it to God. If God wants you to be victorious, you'll be victorious.
That's it.
And that's really a good reminder because I'll tell you, I struggled this week with applying the work. I think I had a pretty good week as far as all is concerned. Blessed, super blessed. But I struggled this week on being distracted by irrelevant, silly myths. Things that, you know, I was concerned would turn out, you know, in a certain way. And it just never was my battle. I literally prayed and repented because I was judging people and I'm just going to be honest. That's what we do here. I was judging people. I was putting blame on people. I assigned people sinister motives, like, oh, they're doing this on purpose to me, right? Like, or they set me up or whatever. Like, nobody set me up. It's not like a Marion Barry or something. But it's just may he rest in peace. But I mean, that's just the last person I remember saying that. They set me up. But it wasn't nothing like that. But it was like, I felt like I was at a disadvantage and I felt like people were doing things to contrive against me. And well, I was wrong, first of all, but even if I wasn't wrong, I shouldn't have even been thinking about that because that's outside of me. I can't control what somebody's doing or saying or thinking. And so it just really didn't serve me. I'm just going to be so honest right now because all the time that I spent talking about what I thought was happening, thinking about what I thought was happening, it was adding stress onto me, adding stress to my, you know, to my life, to my body. And, you know, come to find out that it wasn't even true. But if it was, like, it still wouldn't have been beneficial to me to be trying to figure out what somebody's doing. It's more beneficial to me to be focused on doing whatever I'm going to do anyway. So I guess I wouldn't say I learned that this week. I will instead reserve that because I don't think I fully learned that. I think I observed that about myself. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I think is happening while we're reading the Bible is that God is revealing things, I know, to me about myself, and he's revealing them to me in private. So nobody else knows, but I know that, like, oh, wow, I'm super flawed right here, or, ooh, this is ugly. You know what I'm saying? So I'm getting a lot of that, but it's really good for me because I didn't see those things before. So I'm grateful for that. But so that was my week. That's what I tried to apply this week. But that's what I observed. So,
hey, it's all about applying and learning.
That's just it. Trying to get better. You know, that's we're it. All out here in these streets trying to make it
every day. That's it. So this week we read 1 Kings 22. 2 Chronicles 18, and we read 2 Chronicles 19 through 23, and Obadiah, which is the smallest book in the Old Testament, and Psalms 82 and 83. Now, for 1 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 18, this talks about the death of King Ahab, which was very interesting. God delivered on his promise. Let's just say that. The kings of Jehoshaphat and Isaiah and a prophet, King Ahab and the prophet Micaiah?
Yeah,
Micaiah. Okay. Sorry, guys.
The names are, and there's so many names, it's so easy to get confused, but listen, that's why we need your help. Yeah. We need you guys to read along with us, and if you know a name or a pronunciation, certainly feel free to comment and let us know.
I was on a quick side note, I was on my podcast, Homecoming, and I tried to say a young man's last name, and he was... Nigerian, no, Rose Nigerian. And I butchered the name, and I was like, what has America done to America? What has America done to us?
Oh, my gosh. We're so arrogant.
I feel like we go to another country, and then I just told her, it reminds me of reading the Bible. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm trying.
We're trying.
I'm trying to get better. Just know that it's
not intentional or offensive.
Don't
right.
take offense to my ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine. Okay?
Hurt.
Yes, King Ahab actually had a gruesome death.
Oh my gosh, it was wild.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff, y'all, it's not rated, it's not G-rated. It's like, this stuff is real.
Somebody should make a Netflix series.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because you would have to get everything accurate. I don't know. You know, that's a really good point. It would have to be like a pastor or something.
It would have to be a pastor.
You know, or a team of pastors. A team of theologians. Because it's like, even with the way we might interpret something and the way something might look in the background, I would just be so leery of that. But I mean, hey, look, people do cartoons and stuff. So,
yeah.
All right, look, let's get into it.
Yeah.
This is going to be a shorter live because we got to go somewhere after this. We got to go. But today... We're going to church.
Normally,
we do this on Saturdays, but it didn't work out that way yesterday. So we're coming live to you on a Sunday today, and we're going to get it in before we go to church, and then we're going to get the word from there.
Yeah.
So we just soaking in the word today, and I need it. So...
Yeah.
All right, so let's go over this. What are we over right now? We're at first. Is it 1 Kings?
Yeah,
20.
We're just talking about how
1 Kings 17 through 19.
Ahab was killed in battle because he tried to trick another king by disguising himself.
Yeah,
he disguised himself not as a king, and then kind of like, so when you're wicked, you do wicked things. Uh-huh. I'm reading Proverbs, like, you're always into wickedness, uh-huh, right? And I'm not talking about, not most people aren't wicked, guys. You know, most people are just living their lives. They're good people. You know what I'm saying? This is the people you see in a grocery store. But it's that other percentage that is wicked. And what I'm learning about wickedness is just leads you down a path,
uh-huh,
to wickedness. Like, you don't even try to be wicked, but because you're wicked, you do wicked things.
And it's just like, you just keep testing the mark. I think that momentum goes in both ways. When you start doing good things, like, you know, for instance, like, you start working out, you're going to want to eat right. You don't want to mess up your workout. But if you go sometime down the rabbit hole of like social media, and you're sitting there for 30 minutes, it's easy to keep going, keep going, keep going, and that's not really necessarily good for you. So I think it's the same way with wickedness. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to do good, it's one thing, but when you're just allowing yourself to just live out your worldly desires, it gets easier and easier to do worse and worse, and then you just go further and further. We've seen that in some of the documentaries of serial killers and things like that. It's just like, you just, that's even more intricate than the last one. Let's do this. It's like, you know, you don't even have to try. But I did notice something about this. I do think we should get to the questions, because I can talk all day about it.
Yeah. So, the false prophets were bringing fake news before the king and chronicle. Do we have false prophets today, and do they usually predict good news?
I think that, okay, we're reading questions from teachsundayschool.com, the 365 daily Bible reading plan. I think it's interesting that they use the term fake news, because I was actually...
No, it says predict good news.
That's what you said right here. The false prophets were bringing fake news to
the king. Yeah,
what I'm saying is the term fake news. I don't know. I only heard that in the political arena the first time I heard it. So I just thought that was interesting, because the reason I thought it was interesting is because when it says do people bring fake news, it made me think of political.
Yeah,
it made me think political. It made me. Initially, before we read that question, that's what I was thinking, is that, sometimes politicians have been known to deliver whatever suits them at the moment, and as does some of the mainstream media, and people just present whatever narratives work for them. But in this case, so I want to answer the question specifically. Do we have false prophets today? Absolutely. Do they usually predict good news? Like I said, I think that they spin whatever story works for their, you know, well-being or whatever they are trying to accomplish, their narrative or their motive. And I think I heard this from somebody very wise in the communication space. Mm-hmm. They were like, unfortunately, the best story is the one that people believe. So it's not necessarily the truth. It's the story that's like the most, I don't know, like innovative or whatever, or the one that's the most striking. So sometimes the truth doesn't necessarily win or, you know, win people over in order for belief. But sometimes it's like the best story or the most salacious thing, right? Sometimes it's whatever people want to hear. Sometimes it's what they don't want to hear, right? Especially if you're trying to invoke fear in people. But yeah, I definitely think we have false prophets, people who want to be known for things, people who have something to gain from saying something untrue.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, especially in this day and age with social media and the way we think of celebrity and things, I think people seek out fame and fortune, and sometimes people don't care how they get it. So it's like, I think that's probably where we see it the most. Go ahead though.
I think it is definitely false prophets, and I think you play right into it. We're not even talking about, I think, the level of people that are spreading misinformation is right on one end. When we grew up, it was like, you know, you don't know if somebody's telling the truth on the news or politicians. Now you're on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, you can go down this rabbit hole and not know what's the truth.
And I'll say this, I do believe, and this is my own, well, I will put some facts in here, but I do think this is, I just want to be clear, this is my own thinking. So the fact is, when we were coming up, there were less venues for news to be delivered. So there were only so many channels. There were only so many times that news played. It was not even a thing for news to be 24/7 until cable came along and made that accessible. I mean, and sure, there's news radio and everything, but
it's 24 hours.
But the idea was that, you know, you're going to get your news from a reputable source, and sources that were not reputable were it was like widely known that like, oh, like, you know, there was this one newspaper that people would be like, oh, that's tabloids or whatever, right? Like, don't believe that. There was a few of them. But
the Inquirer.
Well, okay, so listen, I'm not trying to put nobody out there, but it was like widely, and that's not the only one. There's a couple of them, right? Yeah, yeah. So, but you would just think that, like, if you saw it in the Washington Post or New York Times or something, like, mm-hmm. then you could believe that. And there used to be a thing called redaction, where if someone printed something and their source ended up falling through or they didn't have the proof, then they would have to redact the statement and say, oh, we printed this, but da 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 da. So. You know, I think the sources these days are a little less reputable because people are giving more of their opinion and they're not like sort of chained to the ethics that journalists used to be chained to or like used to drive them. And on top of that, now we have social media. And so it's far more likely that you're going to come in contact with somebody who's going to say that they know what they're talking about or going to be implying that they know what they're talking about and they don't have the information. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, perhaps one of the news people that we would have watched on TV, you know, their reputation was on the line. And if they were giving misinformation, then they would be known for that. But now it's like everybody's talking and everybody's on social media. So it's just a dumpster fire sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, but back to the question. So, false prophets, I think, we have to go back to the Bible and we have to realize that in the Bible, what they're saying is true, right? So if it keeps happening, they were false prophets all the way back in the First Testament with Pharaoh. So they're continuously to be false prophets. Same with the worshiping of Baal, right? It's probably continuous to this day.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be false prophets. I'm a big sports guy, and I was realizing this because of the 24-hour news cycle. The journalistic aspect has kind of been snatched away. And so you're saying when you're reading New York Times and Washington Post, they're going to a source.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we're... it's only a small amount of where you can get your facts from. Because of this 24-hour news cycle, because people can put whatever they want, you know, on the internet, and they don't have a source of information that could be, you can end up going down a rabbit hole of irrelevant and silly myths that are not true. They're false, right? Like this show, we're reading directly from the Bible. We're talking about stuff in the Bible. So we're getting it from a credible source. So you have to be careful when you listen to where they're citing these sources from. I have a sports podcast, Fourth Quarter. I cite that by reading articles, looking at other people that are professionals in their craft. And journalism, where they hear from this source, where they hear from this source. And then I gather it and then formulate my own opinion about what's going on because things could change, you know. Same with my wife's channel. She reads articles. She gets to the source of actual journalism and then presents it. Some people just present their own opinion about what they see. And that's not good. Because what you see is from your understanding, and your understanding, as we know that the Bible says, is you can't lean on it.
Right. And so in this particular thing, we're talking about, you know, 1 Kings 22, where the prophets were, most of the prophets were telling the king, Ahab, that like, oh yeah, you're going to win this battle. And Jehoshaphat and Ahab were going into battle together because Ahab asked Jehoshaphat, hey, will you go to battle with me at Ramoth-Gilead? Now, Jehoshaphat was like, will you ask the prophets, like, I want you to talk to God before we go. Now, here's what's interesting. He asked the prophets. The prophets were all like, you know, basically lying.
Yeah.
And then he named this one prophet, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. He was like, I don't like him because he only brings me news good. He does never brings good news for me, but only evil. So I guess he meant that to think that, like, okay, because he only gives me news that's bad or that he perceives to be bad, that this person was somehow evil. But really, it's like he's the only one telling the truth.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so profound, because sometimes you can be the only person telling the truth and you're going to feel crazy. Dude ended up getting thrown in jail for telling the truth.
Yeah.
But it was wild, because even when they went to battle, there was still some stuff that was messed around.
Mm-hmm.
And but Jehoshaphat called on God.
Yeah.
And so he didn't get hurt, but it was wild.
Jehoshaphat was one of the kings that relied on God's covenant.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible. Yeah. So,
okay, so let's keep going. I'm sorry, I got into that.
Yeah. Now we have Obadiah and Psalms 82 and 83. Obadiah is I'm sorry. Second Chronicles 19:23. This is just talks about King Jehoshaphat. And then it talks about, as we know what Chronicles is, right? It's a chronicle order. So it talks about, like, the bio of King Jehoram and of Judah. It talks about the bio of King Uzziah of Judah, the bio of Queen Athaliah, and how Queen Athaliah was overthrown. This basically says, like, it's just a snippet. And Jehoshaphat was one of the kings that early on destroyed all of the idols and worshiped God's covenant. That's why he listened to the prophet Micaiah that came and told King Ahab not to go. And then he told King Ahab how he was going to die. But Jehoshaphat didn't, like, you know, Jehoshaphat listened to Micaiah because Micaiah was a prophet and he got his
instructions. Well, somebody slapped Micaiah across the face. I can't remember who did that. I don't know why I thought it was
Ahab.
Somebody slapped him across the face because he was like, oh, you giving bad news or whatever, like, and he was like, was okay.
King, I think that was
you'll
King
see.
I think that was King Ahab. Because Ahab didn't believe.
Oh, look, it's this person.
Oh.
The son of Chaniah, Zedekiah. He came up and struck Micaiah on the cheek. This is Second Chronicles 18:23. Which way did the spirit of the Lord go when he departed from me to speak to you?
Who was
he was probably one of the other prophets. I don't know. It says Zedekiah, the son of Chenana. I don't know how to say it. But the point is, Jehoshaphat was more adept to, like, he was more in tune with, like, listening to what the truth, you know. And it's a crazy thing because, like, sometimes it's hard to know what is the truth. I like to think if you're exposed to the truth enough, then you'll be attracted to it. So when you hear something that just don't sit right, it probably ain't right. You know what I'm saying? When something strikes you to go and look for more information, go and do that, right? And then I just think there's something about just keeping yourself connected to God, because sometimes you're not going to have all the information, but if you have that connection to God, God is going to protect you. God is going to guide you. You know what I mean? So, but look, what does the question say? Oh, I'm sorry. Am I bothered? I'm messing you up. Well, let me just say this while you're looking at that.
Okay.
Jehoshaphat and Ahab went to battle. And at some point, Ahab said, oh, you keep the royal robe on and I'll dress like a warrior. And I thought that was like some old okie doke stuff, because it's like, oh, like when you already, I just feel like you shouldn't trust people. You know when you shouldn't trust people, sometimes you don't. But, you know, hopefully God gives us the discernment that we need. But Ahab struck me as one of those people that's kind of like slick. And I would just be kind of like, you know, watching him with the side eye. So when he asked his other, counterpart to say, oh, you keep your royal robe on and I'm going to disguise myself, the warriors were told on the other side to go and look for the king, who they were looking for, Ahab. But because I think Jehoshaphat was also a king, they were just of different nations. Don't quote me on that though. Or go look it up for yourself. But what happens is they're going to look for the king, and who's wearing the royal robes and looks like the king, Jehoshaphat. So I actually, and it doesn't say this in the text, but I actually am just kind of, you know, my antennas are up or a little bit about Ahab, because I've seen him do so many other like weird things that I was like, I wonder if he did that on purpose, to not even just to set Jehoshaphat up, but just to save himself. You ever seen somebody like in a movie, they like pull somebody in front of them if there's a shooting? I remember in New Jack City, I'm telling my age here, in New Jack City, there was like this shooting in public, and somebody had like grabbed the children and was like holding the children up to shield themselves from the gunshots. And I just thought that was so horrible. I think it was Nino Brown. But anyway, don't want to be Nino Brown, but I feel like Ahab and Nino Brown got a little bit in common, because I feel like he's tried to pull the okie doke on Jehoshaphat. Now, here's what's interesting about what happened. It didn't matter, because even though Jehoshaphat was wearing the royal robes, when the people came and thought that he was the king, or, you know, thought they were who he was looking for, who they were looking for, they recognized that it wasn't him. And then because Jehoshaphat prayed to God, he reached out to God and God protected him. So even if you're in the streets with these people who are being slick, God is still going to protect you if you have that, you know, covering over you, if you have the heart after God. That's what I'm getting from the text. I mean, it doesn't always work out the same for everybody, but I just thought that was interesting. Okay. Now what was the question? I'm so sorry.
The question was, two of the biggest temptations are power and riches. How can we keep our thoughts from being affected by these, like Queen Atelia's were?
Queen Atelia, that was the mom, right?
She killed the whole royal family.
Mm-hmm. Because her son died and she wanted to reign. So
the biggest temptation.
We just talked about this, is like power, like I guess I said fame, but power, fame and fortune. But fame is somewhat power. Right, but power and riches. So go ahead and answer that. What do you think? How can we keep our thoughts from being infected by temptations of riches and power?
I think the simple one is just be rooted in God. Right. So the problem is God has given these. It's not a problem, but God has given laws that we can be governed by, and the laws are very simplistic and easy. Right. Love. Trust me, listen to me, obey my commandments, and you'll get all of this. But the problem is we start leaning on our own understanding, and what happens is with power, we get prideful, and with pride leads to power. And when you're put in certain positions, you feel like that you can take control and have control over people. You can determine how you impact people's lives.
Uh-huh.
And that is probably a good feeling for people, right? Like you have control.
Uh-huh.
That's what everybody wants in life. Control, uh-huh. Right? They can control their outcome. You can control how many people you govern. You can control the laws how you want to see fit, right? You're king. You like, I don't like this. I don't like to be loving and kind. I want to get all the money and all the power. Mm. But then how we stop by doing that is doing the opposite, which is what God calls for, right? Being loving, being understanding, being kind, having steadfast love tied around your neck, right? Writing it on a tablet of your heart. You got to love your neighbor, love your enemies, pray to him constantly, because with power comes leaning on your own understanding, and power just leads to all other sins and wickedness, right? Because you can have power be rooted in God, but you can reign like how David did, and then how Solomon did.
Mm.
Now, both of them had a very interesting end, but you can't take away from what they did.
Yeah.
So that's kind of because they both had power and they reigned perfectly, but they both followed God's covenant.
Yeah.
That's it.
Agreed. Okay, let's continue.
All right. This is Obadiah, which is the smallest book in the Old Testament. And we read Psalms 82 to 83. And Obadiah talks about how the Israel was split, right? Because you have North and South Israel. And I learned from the shout out to the Bible Project, I learned that Edom were descendants of Jacob and Esau were brothers that we talked about. Jacob went to become Israel with the 12 tribes. Esau, Edom. So the people of Edom are descendants, and they're still kind of bickering back and forth. So Obadiah kind of like just tells the story of that.
Mm-hmm.
It tells the story of how God is going to correct it all once again, like he always does. Just remember, God always corrects. That's just because we believe he should correct it according to our time. That doesn't. No, we remember God. Time doesn't exist to God. It only exists to us because we eat. We were focused on lack
mm-hmm.
and ate the fruit. That's we listen to the devil because now we surely will die once we ate the fruit. Anyway, it's because time started to exist. So the questions are you waiting for God to bring justice to you?
Okay.
And how do these passages help?
Okay, so I will say that there are some times where I feel like God is, and it's happened, you know, fairly recently,
yeah.
where I feel like God is going to bring justice to me. I think the passages helped me in a way where, I mean, just like other passages, but I'm going to get into something opposite. It helps me just to remind me that what others have been through and that God is faithful, right? And like these other people go through these things too.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually did Obadiah, and I'm really putting emphasis on Obadiah. There's only one book, but Obadiah 1:11 and 1:12, right? Really Obadiah 1:11 through 1:13. So like,
yeah,
it basically is talking about don't gaze and gloat in triumph over your brother's day, the day when his misfortune came. Do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Do not speak arrogantly, jeering and maliciously mocking in the day of their distress. So one of the things that brought to mind to me was it corrected me because there have been times where maybe I suggested that like this isn't going to work and here's why, and someone went against that in any way, saying like, oh, well, we don't think that you're correct. And then they go and do the thing, and then I was correct. And the challenge for me is to not sit there and be like, see, I told you so. And this verse speaks to me in that way because that has happened to me a number of times. And what I dislike about myself is that so this verse is correcting me, but in the moment, it feels so good to me to sit there and rejoice and be like, huh, see, I was right. And I don't like that about myself because that's not of God. And obviously because the Obadiah is in that verse is saying that. So that's how this verse is hitting me. It's kind of in the opposite of the question. It's like, oh, how does this verse help you? Whatever. How are these verses helping you? I know from enough that I've read in the Bible that God is already going to take care of stuff and you just have to take your mind off of it. Right. There's a saying that I don't think is in the Bible, but it says what you focus on expands. Right. So if I'm focused on negativity, the negativity expands. If I'm focused on someone else's race expands. If I'm focused on God and what God told me to focus on and do, then I'm going to win. And it doesn't really matter what somebody else's viewpoint or experience was because I'm not them. All I have is me. And so I realized that I need to be corrected in that way. That's kind of what I got from this.
Yeah. So It says, are you waiting for God to bring justice to you? I don't think waiting to bring justice to you should, I don't think you should wait on God bringing justice to you. I think God is going to do the justice for you.
Uh-huh.
So you shouldn't wait on him. He's going to take care of it. Don't worry about that. But I was looking at, and just to, before we wrap up, I'm going to say these verses, and it coincides exactly with what you said. Obadiah 2-4. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock in your lofty dwelling. Who stay in your heart? Who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, this is where I bring you down, declares the Lord. And I was reading the notes, and God opposes the proud and the arrogant.
Uh-huh.
And it goes back to pride and ego, leaning on your own understanding. Guys, this is, it's very simple, but it's very hard. Because it's implemented, it's embedded in us since the very beginning, right? These are traits that, well, I said something earlier this week, and you have to remember, you're always going to be working to be close to God. If you're always working to be close to God, you're never going to be perfect. Only perfect person was Jesus, and he was God. So take that perspective. All the stories that we've read of everybody in the Bible, nobody was perfect. Everybody, it always comes back. Your human instincts always come back. You're always going to sin. It's just how your natural makeup is. You can't worry about that. Can't worry about your past because God doesn't. You got to forgive because God does. You got to love because God does. Can't lean on your own understanding, lean on his, because he knows all. He's the ultimate creator, and he figured everything out very quickly, right? And he gives it to us in his word. So you can't lean on pride, because when you start feeding into pride and ego, you feed the monster of power, and you feed the monster of wealth. You can have all of those things if that's destined for you in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
You can be like King David if that's destined for you. If that's God's purpose for you, then you'll excel at it. But you always have to remember to live his covenant and fear him. And fear of the Lord, shout out to Manny, is foresight. And fearing the Lord is doing the opposite of what the world does. Because the world doesn't know what's going on. The world is just here functioning. And if humans are in it and leaning on our own understanding, we don't know what to do.
Well said. Listen, everybody, we're so grateful that you joined us for another episode of Is It Crazy or Is It God? I'm going to go ahead and we're going to wrap up. I'm going to ask you if you have any shout outs. I really don't. I actually don't have any this week.
Nah.
There's one person that comes to mind, but I think I'll wait for next week because I got to watch this and read his book. But we just appreciate y'all coming to watch, and hopefully you are inspired to pick up your Bible and read along with us. You don't have to read exactly along with us. There's plenty of episodes where we go over what we've read thus far. We're about halfway through the Bible. It's probably going to take us through the year to finish. We're just grateful to have you join us. As we always say, don't take our word for it. Go to the source. Read your Bible.
All right, guys.
Thanks again for joining us. Oh, wait. I forgot to ask you. Did you have any shout outs?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.